What a sound, right? Boy, you guys sound good. What a band. It's a great band. And Susan, what a singer. Such a pleasure to hear you sing. You're such a great singer. Yeah, and Derek, I think of you as a singer too. You know, you, just the way you play, particularly slide guitar, is just so much expression. Do you think about singing when you're playing a solo, or is it just sort of, I mean, it's probably not much different. You're just expressing what you're feeling that's coming out.
Yeah, I think with slide is great for that too. You can be real lyrical and vocal with it. So, and being surrounded by great singers, whether it's Susan or Mike or Mark or Greg or Warren or whoever, you're constantly hearing these inflections and melodies, and so I'm ripping them all off all the time. Checks in the mail.
No, you still have to have the ideas actually inside you, as much as you say you're ripping them off. I mean, I think you still have to have something to say. Once you cultivate your instrument and get it all going, you still need to be able to come up with those ideas.
Yeah, we listen to so much music on the bus, and we're surrounded by people with great collections, so we're hearing new things all the time.
And you studied different things too, didn't you? Study a little Indian music, or did you learn, was it Sarod or something like that? Or
I sat in on some classes, but you know, he would make all the instrumentalists take the vocal classes. His whole thing was you should be singing through your instrument, so that crystallized it.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, let's talk a little bit about family. I know, Susan, we were talking before about, you know, having older brothers and how they have pushed you just a little bit, right?
Yeah, they used to pick on me and tell me I couldn't sing good. So I told them I was going to show them.
Certainly there's a wave of sibling bullying that takes heat across the nation as parents encourage their kids to bully their younger siblings. So they come up, with you as an example.
I went a little extreme though. I mean, they used to tell me I couldn't play basketball, and I would try to prove them wrong there too, even though they were about 2 feet taller than me.
There's a tune we do in our set called That Did It. It's an old Bobby Bland tune. And when she's taking that guitar solo, that's when I can see that chip on her shoulder. We're going to get in front of that. So that's one of the tunes that she's like, play a solo. Absolutely not. It's all you.
She will crush you.
It's not fair.
And Derek, your family obviously is, you know, taught to music in so many ways, certainly through your uncle and deep into the Allman Brothers when you were a kid. Did they push you at all in a musical direction?
You know, if anything, I think my parents were apprehensive because they had seen that scene. When I first started playing in the late 80s, the Allman Brothers were on hiatus. It had all kind of blown up. So they weren't that excited about it in the beginning. But, you know, once you start playing and they see what you have, and you know, parents, they want to cultivate what your kids are into. So I would start singing at local blues bars, and one thing leads to another. The type of music we play, you know, if you play sports, there's an obvious avenue. You can't go to school for what we do, really. I mean, you're constantly learning. You got to get out with the musicians that do it and the people that have lived it. And, you know, so I got a great head start that way.
Right. Did your parents or older siblings or anybody give you the discipline? Because you must have a lot of self-discipline in order just to be able to play as well as you can do. I mean, aside from just doing it all the time, you must have had to really witch it.
And you know, I think I just got lucky with the, I don't know if I learned that from anybody, but self-discipline.
No. He doesn't. She's saying no.
No, you know, what's funny though is he actually does discipline himself naturally. I think one of the things is because he has seen so many people take the wrong road, that as a young kid seeing that, he was like, I'm not going that direction. So he never took the avenue of drugs and all that crazy, you know, madness. So.
I was fortunate that my dad was on the road with until I was 17, and he didn't completely shield me from, he let me see what was going on. I mean, he would shield me, you can't get too close, But he made sure I was aware of what was going down. So then when you see stories and people crash and burn, you know why it happened. It's not just in a vacuum. So it was good. I was
demystifies it.
It does, you know. And I mean, especially in the circles we run in, you see a lot of people spin out of control. So you got to watch yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just can only imagine what it must be like for you thinking about listening to those records. Obviously, you know, the Allman Brothers and listening to Wayne and listening to Derek and the Dominoes and Eric Clapton and all that stuff. And then you sort of blink your eyes and now you're on stage and you're a member of the Allman Brothers, or you're on stage and you're a member of Eric Clapton's band, and you go, oh yeah, there's Eric and I'm playing with these guys. It's kind of a wild, it must surprise you from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, it's surreal for all of us. I mean, Susan getting to play with B.B. King and Buddy Guy, Bob Dylan, Willie and Willie Lynch. All of the guys in this band, the Burbridge Brothers, getting to spend time with Herbie Hancock and learn Herbie tunes with Herbie. I mean, that's stuff you never imagine when you're first starting to play. You know, they're your heroes, and to actually get to make music with these people is something that's not lost on us when it's happening. You know, it's rare that you have those moments where, while it's happening, you're thinking, I'm going to be telling this story to my grandkids. usually, you go through that stuff and then you think back on what was great, but we've been fortunate. There's been a lot of things that, while it's happening, you're fully aware of it.
Well, it's all happening, and it's all for good reason. The band is amazing. I just want to talk a little bit about being married and prior to this, having two separate bands and two separate careers and two separate directions and two separate kids. You know, you have two kids together, and so how did all that work with the touring and the, you know, all that stuff?
I have no idea. I'm just kidding.
It takes a lot of work. I mean, we're juggling constantly, but you know, our kids were born, we were doing this already, so it's what they know. They're well traveled. They've been around
the world.
They're so comfortable
their way around
any situation. Yeah, they get on the bus, they go right to their bunk.
Yeah,
this is my area. But it's great. I mean, my mom watches the kids while we're away. My brother and his wife live right down the street. It's a village, and it's the only way we could do it. We're really fortunate.
And we were, you know, again, talking about family, and I'm sure you always imagined, or maybe dreamed of, having a day where you guys would be, you know, put a band together. And you took a chance building a studio at your house. I mean, that was kind of a gamble, right?
A couple of things. I mean, we definitely always wanted to play together, and it just never really happened. You know, we were always busy making records or touring, and it was really difficult to slow down, and then right when we were about to, we got the gig to do a Clapton. I'm like, well, you gotta do that, so see you later. I mean, these things come up, and you can't miss these opportunities, so it just finally was the right time. You know, we finally started to slow down a little bit, and once again, he's like, you wanna do it? I'm like, sure, let's do it.
And when we built the studio, you know, the Clapton gig came up, and me and Susan talked about it and said, you know, I have this idea of going to build a studio. We're going to pretend that this gig didn't happen. We're just going to live exactly like we were before, and every check is going right into the studio. We were worried about it at first, but then you see the stock market tank. You're like, the studio is still there.
Well, I mean, this band is... your band is like a family too, you know, thinking about this family connection. This band, I think maybe it was, I don't know whether making the record at your home or just making the record with your friends, or, but it seems that way
at
the outside.
It feels so much better than any other record I've ever made. I'm usually very stressed out in the studio because I enjoy seeing people and faces and playing and feeling it. And a lot of times I get stuck in a box trying to sing by myself and I can't even see the band, and this is the first time I actually can see the band when I'm recording, and these guys are family. You know we might have different last names, but we're all related, you know. Definitely love each other in this band, for sure.
Yeah, there's something great about having a studio there. We would have never been able to spend the time we did if we were the if it's by the hour, you know, like having the studio there, you don't have to worry about running out the bill, because as long as you keep the power on, you're okay. So we got to pretend that we were like the Rolling Stones in 1974, just record in the studio in the same space, live in it for 6 months,
and lots of stoned and drunk movie stars drifting in and out.
Oh yeah, a lot of that. Drop the kids off at school. I think we've learned from the mistakes. Yeah. Most of them.
Yeah. Well, what I love about this band is that it's kind of like the world's biggest hot rod, monster truck, powerful behemoth thing that you can also kind of bring down, and it just kind of purrs at idle and it's just chugs along, and then if you need to, let it out, let it out. It's all there. It's a big, powerful thing.
Yeah, it's a beast of a band.
But it's simple. These guys are good listeners.
Everybody listens so hard. I mean, it can sound like a trio just a duet or 11 or 100 people. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, last thing before we get back to music, because we got a lot of music ahead of us. It's just interesting being connected to, just getting to know you guys a little bit over the years, being here, and also just seeing you as parents and now embarking on this new endeavor. And I'm just imagining what the transition is for you as parents, thinking about, because I get a feeling that some of the songs that you're drawn to come from, or at least are inspired by, informed by the late 60s, early 70s time period, and there is a cause around a lot of those days, a lot of those songs. Whether it's civil rights or Vietnam War or whatever the times were. And I'm just thinking about you guys as parents and musicians and whether those issues are relevant for you now.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we come from a background where music was, it was more than just entertainment, and it was more than selling yourself and some weird lifestyle. It was about your life and being honest and living and working through it, and having kids and a family is a huge part of that, and we don't separate what we do as a band with our life, And so, you have to be conscious, you have to be aware. It's a scary time to be alive, a scary time to have kids. So you obviously try to do what you can to make it better. And I think the music we play and what we get to do, it's one of the few things left that you can constantly put it out there, and the returns, what you're given and what you're getting is. It just adds up, it just multiplies, it's a pretty amazing thing.
Our children are allowed to listen to our records, where some of the records maybe they're not allowed to listen to.
And are there any causes or issues or things, concerns that you have in particular that you lend your music to, either as doing benefits or other things?
All the time when we get a call, if it fits the schedule and it's the right thing, we try as much as we can. I can't say there's one or two.
Stuff.
But yeah, I mean, we play a lot.
We just played in Albuquerque, New Mexico for a foundation called New Day. And New Day actually houses homeless children between 11 and 18. And it tries to give them the essentials that they need to get on with their life, because they, basically it comes down to parenting. You don't have any parents or any kind of role models, how do you know, what you're supposed to do every day? Even the simple things like brushing your teeth every day and combing your hair, and how do you get a job, and all these things that you need to be on your own. So things like that are important, foundations like that. And then we also work with back home, the St. John's River Keeper, trying to keep our waterways healthy. That's a very important thing for me. If everybody took care of their own backyard, that would be an amazing feat in itself.
We try to go local when we can.
Exactly. Gotta go local as much as possible.
So behind that big badass rock and roll facade are a couple of real softies here. It's all the fun. All right, well, I'll tell you what, man, I think it has to come from that place. I think, to sing and play like you guys do, you have to have a huge heart. So we hear it.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to music. Welcome back. We're making the Jazz the Trucks Band. Thank you.
Everybody doing all right?